You're listening to Sports Tech Feed, the global sports technology podcast.
Hello and welcome to Sports Tech Feed. I'm your host, Thomas Alomes. Great to have you join us again this week for our mini-sode with Adam Crothwaite, CEO of the Brand Bar and former first-class cricketer. Welcome to the show, Adam.
Thanks, Thomas. Looking forward to it.
So a couple of Aussies on the podcast. We're obviously going to talk about cricket just after the Ashes, but also after Major League Cricket has wrapped their inaugural season in the US. So it's going to be all about cricket with a specific focus on the US and then also obviously mixing in technology. But just as an introduction to our listeners, what's your background in cricket and specifically within the US?
I guess my background in cricket, I was a professional cricketer from probably 16, 17 onwards, and sort of played for Victoria, moved to Sydney, didn't play for New South Wales, but then went across and played for South Australia. So bounced around a little bit, found myself back in Melbourne, and the last few years been in a bit of a coaching role with Cricket Victoria and the Melbourne Renegades. So that's sort of my cricket side. But then as we're here to talk about the US side, I've been involved with the US within US cricket in some sort of form for probably close to 14, 15 years. But the main one was, last year went over and coached the Seattle Thunderbolts in the minor league.
So talking about Major League Cricket, minor league cricket, is it similar to baseball in the sense of you have one big major league and then kind of the minors in terms of a pyramid that drops below that?
Yeah, sort of. I guess the minor league, I guess, are supposed to be, or when it becomes more established, will be feeder teams up into the major league, I guess, farms like it happens in baseball. So, but at the moment, I think in the infancy, it's a little bit of a, hey, let's pick a team, put a color on, and away we go. So the first year of the major league was a little, they had the draft. So guys were drafted from everywhere. No real alignment with the minor league teams to the major league teams. But I think the idea is that moving forward, the minor league teams will sort of be able to feed the talent and the players into that major league system.
Yeah. And give us a bit of an overview to Major League Cricket, MLC. So new tournament just wrapped up their inaugural season with the final. I think it was just up the road in Dallas at a purpose-built facility there. So what's the structure of the league? What can you tell us about that for people that are familiar with cricket and then others who aren't as well?
Yeah, look, it's really exciting concept. It's been on the cards in US cricket for a long time. Now, the guys that run Major League Cricket aren't actually aligned with USA Cricket or Cricket USA. So it's a private entity. So that these guys have come along and said, oh, we want to run a tournament. The biggest hurdle, I think, at the very start, so the minor league has had two seasons and the major leagues had, and minor leagues just about to start their third season and the major leagues just had their initial inaugural season. But the hardest thing they had at the start was getting enough locals. And what they classify locals is still a bit of an interesting point. Look, that there's no local American kids that have grown up playing baseball that have gone across and now playing cricket. That's just not happening. But the locals are made up of the expats, which in the US is 50 million people or so that aren't from America originally. But that they had to, I guess, import in these talented locals. A lot of them have come from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, South Africa. The Aussies haven't really started going yet, but look, I don't think it'll be too long before some guys decide that, hey, now this is a professional outlet that they, if they become a local, could make some money playing cricket over in the US. So I think they did really well by getting as many first class or former first class players from around the world to, I guess, become local American citizens. And they helped them, and Major League Cricket helped them through that process, which takes sort of a good 3 years. So this process, although it felt like it came together at the very end, Major League Cricket had been putting this together for a good 3 or 4 years and getting that local talent pool to be able to have, 5 local players and 6 internationals in every team of the Major League.
So local in the sense of, say, permanent residence, someone who's there rather than just completely fly in, fly out, team members. So kind of splitting it between those that call America home you know, longer than just the length of the tournament. And
as we know, the US regulations are pretty tight with that, and that these guys need to stay there for 10 months of the year and be there for that 3-year period or whatever the rules are. I think that's sort of pretty close. But and then you throw in the mix when COVID happened, which was when a lot of these guys actually made the move, was when COVID started. So they just moved to America and then COVID hit. So it was a really bizarre time. Everyone wanted to be around their family, and these guys are sitting in their, a lot of them, one bedroom apartment and trying to qualify for something that at that time they were hopeful that it would happen, but weren't positive it would happen.
So that would obviously take a decent amount of investment in terms of, and long-term investment as well, with having that local element of helping sponsor athletes from around the world that are coming in, calling the US home. What are some of the investment sources for Major League Cricket?
Yeah, look, a lot of this has been, I guess, privately funded. There's been some guys, the guys that run Willow Cricket, which is a subscription cricket cable TV channel over in the US, which has the distribution rights for all the US cricket, or all cricket to go into the US. So these guys are behind the push. And look, there has been a significant amount. One of the ways they got around, the money was they made a lot of these professional cricketers that are coming out, they became coaches within the academies. Now they set up academies around the country, and these guys became the coaches. So they, let's say 50-50 were made to coach for a certain amount of hours to make probably 50% of their wage. So there was a bit of give and take. So there was private investment, but then there was, hey, you got to work for your dollar and coach these young kids.
Yeah, and especially over such a short tournament, I think it was only a matter of weeks that the tournament was on this year. So for paying an athlete for that time, especially once moved over, there needs to be, for sustainability, what do you do with the other 11 months of the year? So,
yeah. I think that's where, that's sort of where the minor league steps in. So the minor league this year is only a 2-month program, but moving forward, it will be a 3 or 4 month thing, and probably 3 or 4 months moving forward for the minor league, and probably a full month for the major league. So then you start to getting enough bulk behind, what you're talking about with the cricket and the time that's being allocated for these guys to be professional. And the bonus of all of this, for, again, I said that Major League Cricket aren't associated with US cricket, but as soon as these guys become US citizens and nationalized, they're now available for Cricket USA to go into the ICC. And knowing the quality of players that are doing that, there's no doubt in my mind that USA cricket within the next 5 years will be a very, very good one-day unit in international cricket.
Wow. So, yeah, that's the element that hasn't been considered as well, is where this fits. Obviously, this is shorter form cricket in terms of T20, so 20 over, limited over. It's all about the big hits and, I guess, the highlight version of cricket as opposed to the long form test cricket. We don't have the time, and I don't have the terms to completely explain the sport of cricket. So I'd say for anyone who doesn't understand it, just Wikipedia is your friend. Give it a look. But basically, test matches run for 5 days. And as we've seen with the Ashes, 5 test matches, 5 days apiece, all over the country in England. And that's been played since the 1800s. And then you've got this new form of cricket, which is T20, which is much shorter. Matches last a few hours. And it's much more of the, I guess, in air quotes, action from it. So from that, and then that's where you see a lot of the kind of high profile, but also high paying leagues out there. So the most famous is the Indian Premier League. So 10 city based franchise, founded in 2007. And that's really the gold standard in terms of disruption in sports. And I guess that's what is being looked at with this US one, is you have an incredible population in the US, It's the world's wealthiest sports market. How do you take some of the magic from what's happened in India and apply that to US? So this is the million-dollar question. And I also should point out some IPL teams have actually invested in franchises in the MLC, in the Major League Cricket in the US. But from your first-hand experience with cricket, do you think it's going to break through to being a locally adopted sport, or will it slash can it rely on diaspora fans? It can rely on India, Pakistan, Bangladeshis, Australians, English, all the other Commonwealth countries that play cricket and are absolutely mad about it, with such a big diaspora in the US. Where do you think it's going to go?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's going to take over the NBA. I don't think the NFL have anything to worry about, but I don't think
Roger Goodell's not taking his boots about Major League.
I don't think so, but saying that, I think the market is big enough. Cricket's a worldwide sport, and essentially if they're just putting on a tournament, the money that will be made will be via the television rights. So it's not about filling Cowboy Stadium or making sure that 50,000 American Seattle people from Seattle go to watch the game. I don't think that's where this will be successful. And look, do I think the US will take interest? I think they will eventually, once they see the talent of cricket, and they see like that, the Americans will love the idea of somebody hitting a 450 foot pull shot over backwards square leg, which would be a fair ball and everything else, but in baseball, but, so they'll love it. They'll love the outfield catching with no gloves. They'll love the fear of what a really good game of cricket will be. But will it be mainstream US? Look, I don't think so. But I think it's going to be very, very successful in my opinion, just by the pure fact of money. I met more Indian billionaires when I was in the US than I'd ever met anywhere throughout cricket. And if you think there's only six teams, at the moment, they will expand that. There's enough. The biggest drawback you've got in world cricket, definitely in Australian cricket and English cricket, they always talk about that it is the money. It's the, hey, we got enough money for this, we got enough money for that. We're seeing the tournaments in Dubai just with people that have backed with money. That'll be successful. The UAE and obviously the money that comes out of India is so big. So for me, there's plans to build the infrastructure within the stadiums in the US. And especially if the 28 LA Olympics get, which the talk is at the moment, they're pushing to have cricket as an Olympic sport. If these stadiums get built, yeah, I just can't see it. I can't see it failing because of the amount of Indian investment that is going into this. And, see, I worry for something like the Caribbean Premier League. I think the Caribbean Premier League will just be swallowed up and taken over by this window of US Major League Cricket.
Yeah, and you have the World Cup, T20 World Cup coming to the US as well, and the US and the Caribbean. And that's something that I think is quite interesting. Most Americans wouldn't understand that cricket is on their doorstep, where they holiday and sometimes put offshore bank accounts. It's probably the cliche, what they know about these small Caribbean nations, is that they're just cricket mad, and they have a long, rich, incredible history of cricket. So that's something as well, is if you can say, well, it's a short flight from Dallas down south a bit more. It's probably closer than it is from Dallas to New York. So it's going... How do you get that group? And I'd probably be inclined to agree with you, is that and I did ask you the question as a bit of a false equivalency, but I don't think it needs the local US talent or the local US interest or to challenge baseball or to kids start picking up the willow as opposed to swinging a bat. Because as you said, you know, you have the India Premier League's one of the richest, at least by game, I think it's the richest sports property in the world, just because it has such a short season, but still grows, attracts so much wealth and wealth and just, it's just incredible. It's just a cultural movement. But if that then goes, well, what about our gaps in our programming for the rest of the year? The US is another market. And then it just becomes something like that. And then you can see, all right, how do we build out 365 days or close as possible to that of action that can satiate these fans with familiar athletes they know and love? So especially as well in the US in summer here, being at the right time with time zones and stuff like that, it is possible to make it a little bit easier than, say, you know, tournaments in other parts of the world.
Yeah, and I think that the window that they've got in the ICC calendar means that a lot of players will be available for it. And my understanding is that a lot of the players that came, a lot of the big name players, loved it. I know for a fact that Marcus Stoinis and Aaron Finch, two Australian superstars, have stayed over there and holidayed, and they're still in the US. And the tournament finished 2 weeks ago. So it's from a player's perspective, it's a really fascinating space to move into. It's the one part of the world that cricket hasn't really had any relevance. And as you said, it's the biggest sports market in the world. And it's, I guess the time being what, that early July, late July, it's really competing against what, the baseball, the NFL hasn't started yet. The NBA hasn't started yet. So there is a bit of a window within American sport. And there's also a window within the ICC calendar after with the IPL and before the 100 in England. So as I said, for me, I think it's, how do I say this? Probably, I think it's probably dangerous to the rest of the world, because the money that is around in the US dwarfs anything that we have in Australia, dwarfs it. And the same thing probably in the UK, like the people that are involved could build this tournament 10 times over. It's like having the New York Yankees owning four of the six major league teams. That's the money that they're talking about. The Kolkata Knight Riders of taking over LA, like that's just Hollywood and Bollywood just meeting in the middle. Mumbai Indians took New York and they won it. Two of the biggest cities in the world, with the Ambanis the Ambanis essentially owned all of the concrete in India. Probably the richest family in the world, taking over a franchise in New York. Now, you can't just love the fact that these two powerhouses can come together and do that. So Texas have got, the Chennai Super Kings, and then Seattle have got the Delhi Capitals. San Francisco and Washington, D.C., a little bit different because they got taken over by, or they get managed by Australian teams. Washington, D.C. gets managed by New South Wales Cricket, and the San Francisco Unicorns is managed by Cricket Victoria.
Yeah, and I think it's to your point as well, this is something that the money's talked about all the time, but then also I guess some of the other elements of the attractiveness of competitions probably doesn't get touched on as much, in terms of, say, you are a first-class cricketer and you've got your family with you. Do you want to go spend however much time in, say, England, or do you want to go to the US, or do you want to go to Dubai? Do you want to go to India? It's probably a thing where you go to all of those places and you follow that to make money. But if you're in a position that you can pick and choose, the attractiveness of coming out to the US for a summer holiday whilst your family's summer holiday, but whilst you're working is an element as well. So I definitely think there's a pull with that. And a very long bug, kind of like a Lionel Messi to Inter Miami example, in kind of understanding the scale of the opportunity in the US.
Yeah, I think it's not, I don't think it's that long of a bow to think about, because you think of someone like Andre Russell, he's world class, and all of a sudden he's playing with the LA Knight, right? Like he's in the US playing, like a world class athlete. And there was quite a number of them, really. There was a lot of world-class athletes who played in that tournament that, yes, it's only for 3 weeks this year and probably four next year. But, the way that they're dragging some of these big names, and the way to do that is the money. We're seeing it in Saudi Arabia. We're seeing it in, I guess, Major League Soccer with the football code. But when you're backed by so much money that for me, that's where I think that people are missing the trick with this tournament. People aren't understanding that this is going to be big because there's so much money involved, the money that isn't there in the rest of the world. So it's interesting. And that, like, the Texas Super Kings took families to, it was quite funny. The story goes that the families of the Texas Super Kings were all sitting around, and the owner got 15 tickets to Taylor Swift in New York. So flew them all out on a private jet from Dallas to New York to go and see Taylor Swift. Now, families of cricketers, we're not used to that. We're not used to jumping on the private jet and going to see Taylor Swift. The boys didn't get to do it, but the kids and the wives did. And all reports that went amazingly well, and they had a great time. And it was just shows the hospitality of the owners and of the people that are really pumped to get this tournament off the ground. And from a cricket perspective, I really think that it was an outstanding tournament. The games were competitive. The internationals were awesome. And even some of the locals, the guys that are there as locals, they held themselves really well. And it was awesome to watch.
Yeah, great. I would say that most athletes aren't used to that experience. Like, you can say what you want about some of the salaries in say the major four leagues in the US, that still doesn't necessarily extend like that. So yeah, that is incredible, and I guess it's probably a good point to put a pin in the conversation about how much wealth and long term wealth is kind of backing this. So final question for you, Adam, is what role has technology and innovation played in the inaugural MLC competition, and do you see that becoming, more of a testbed as we go forwards?
Yeah, look, I think they, like everything, they became really professional quickly. Like the analytics, the tech behind. So what you've got when you've got tournament cricket, you've got players coming in from around the world, from different sports science guys to different injuries to different physios with different coaches. So the data and the way to get to look after these athletes, it's almost like renting a thoroughbred horse for 3 weeks and making sure you hand it back to the owner unharmed. So look, it was very professional. The tech side, from a analytical side, they had to do a lot of work because a lot of these guys didn't know the local players. There wasn't a lot of, there was only 2 years of minor league cricket, to have a look at before you picked your squad. So a lot of it was done, using already the tech that's already in cricket, but it had to be drawn into the fold really quickly. So look, it was professionally done. I think that moving forward from we know how, and I was lucky enough to spend time in Seattle where pretty much the whole place is made up of tech. And I can just see that this almost being in the forefront of, hey, let's do this, let's use that. We see the media side of it. I think the media ran really well on the major league side. So I could see it being having the technology that we see in NFL games and in the baseball. And I can really see that filtering down into major league cricket. And it's not something that we've often done, I guess, in within the cricket circles, I guess, analyze it as much as the American sports. But because it's in the US, I think that's the really cool part about merging, I guess, our old school cricket game into a new market. And I'll call it a very sexy market in the US.
Yeah, definitely. And that's also to your point around ownership. I mean, that's one of the most famous owners there outside of cricket is Satya Nadella. So Microsoft CEO is a part owner of the Seattle Orcas, I believe.
I was lucky enough to play in Seattle. And Satya isn't just a money guy, because Satya has, he cared about and followed the minor league team that I was coach of the year before. So there's a new Microsoft development, or almost it's a city, really, a Microsoft city in Seattle, in Redmond, Seattle. They're being built, and Satya is putting in a cricket ground in the middle of Seattle, just because he loves the game so much. He's a Indian heritage, who grew up in India loving the game, and he genuinely loves the game of cricket and has been a major player in the major league. And as I said, he would have himself personally enough money to fund the competition three times over. So you have people like him being involved and loving the game of cricket, wanting to bring it to his own backyard in Seattle and to mix the loves of his life being Seattle and Microsoft and cricket. See, I can't see it failing when you have good people like that, involved.
Yeah. Well, that's a great note to end on. Adams, thank you so much for your time. We're really excited to see it continue and grow. I didn't make it to a match this year, but I will definitely next year. It's only a short drive up the road. But I did watch a little bit of it on Willow, as you pointed out, and also watched the Ashes. So for any of our English listeners, I will say we retained it. Well done. And for everyone else, if you don't understand that, also Wikipedia, the Ashes, and you'll understand why. I've said that as one of the oddest rivalries in sports.
The best way to talk to the Americans about the Ashes is that we played for 5 days in a row, five times in a row, and nobody won, except we held the Ashes again. So just to confuse it even more, the Americans don't understand that yet. But I think it's so exciting to have Major League Cricket off the ground. And mate, thanks for having me. And yeah, we'll make sure that we'll get you in a Seattle Orcas shirt next year, and we'll get you to one of the games.
Sounds good. Thanks again, Adam.
No worries. Let's have a good one.